Welcome to In the Circle, the premier softball podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric Lopez and Victor Anderson.
Well, one, there's an article that we read that said that the Dogs and the Pride were going to be in the finals. So that someone was expecting and they were looking forward to that series. So.
Whoops.
Was that us?
Yes, that was us. Whoopsie. Well, at least we know Brittany Stefan says listen to the podcast. She didn't take what she didn't like what we had to say, and neither did the entire Chicago Bandits team.
And with that, we welcome you to In the Circle. I'm Eric Lopez. Victor Anderson got it wrong. Yes.
Yes, we did.
I didn't know we wrote about it, but hey, well, we did predict Scrapyard Dogs and Pride. But the Chicago Bandits repeat as NPF champions, a remarkable run for Aaron Moore and this incredible franchise, that young group that really was. They were the underdog in this tournament in a lot of ways. They came in as the 3 seed, and Vic, they just found a way to really kind of bond and really, I think they enjoyed the going up against the world mentality.
I think they thrived on the underdog role. Everyone was talking to Cervantes, you mentioned it. Everyone was talking about Scrapyard Dogs versus USSSA. Monica Abbott leading the expansion team versus the previously two-time right. Crows Cup champs, forgetting that the Bandits were the defending champs in the first place. And they proved why they are now the two-time Crows Cup champions in a tremendously played series on the field.
Yeah, we're going to break down the NPF Championship Series, what's next for these franchises, and what it all means here on this podcast. Vic, tell the audience where they can find us.
You can find us on Twitter at InTheCircleSB. Of course, our blog, which did not post that particular prediction, InTheCircleBlog.wordpress.com. Find us on Facebook at InTheCircleSB, or send us an email, InTheCircleSB@gmail.com.
Well, let's begin it. I mean, it was an interesting weekend and handful of days in Tuscaloosa, the University of Alabama, hosting to the NPF Championship Series. The Chicago Bandits, as I mentioned, a team under a game under 500 coming into the Championship Series, playing the Scrapyard Dogs in the 2 seed. The Pride took on Akron, and then, of course, the Bandits and the Pride both advanced to the Championship Series. The rain kind of altered the schedule, so they played the Pride on Sunday, eliminated Akron in 2 games, and then they had a decisive game 3 between the Bandits and the Scrapyard Dogs on Sunday. We'll get into that game in a minute, a little bit actually. And then, of course, they played game 1 of the championship series that night, where the Pride won 3-1, and they played game 2 on Monday night, and it turned into a slugfest. The Bandits won that game 11-5, and then they have forcing a decisive game 3. And the Bandits get, it's just an amazing story, get 2 runs off Kelani Ricketts, Brittany Cervantes with a home run, and
Taylor Edwards at a home run.
Edwards with a home run. Back to back again, like they did against Monica Abbott to begin the championship series. The Pride got a run on a Kelly Kretschmann home run in the bottom of the 5th. And Angel Bunner, who was not even in the league to start the year.
No.
Signed midway as a free agent. Pitches the game of her life, goes 6 innings, and then Shelby Turnier, the rookie out of UCF, comes in and closes the game out, and the Bandits go back-to-back titles, and they beat the Pride both years. But this one was more remarkable. A remarkable run by this group when you consider, Vic, with all the personnel they lost. Monica Abbott, of course, well-documented, moved on, and we'll get into that series for $1 million, went to the Scrapyard Dogs. You had, you know, Amber Patton retired, Tammy Williams retired. You had injury to Emily Allard this season. A lot of adversity, young group. And they kind of found their groove halfway through the year. And really, you could argue their turning point was in Orlando. They were here in July when they played the Pride. They hadn't beaten the Pride all regular season long. They lose they fly in on a Saturday morning. They lose the first game. They play the second game on a Sunday night. And they beat him 5-1. Kristen Brown hit a home run in that game, and Shelby came in relief in her homecoming with her former UCF head coach, Renee Glores Gillespie, in attendance, and was lights out. The Pride won that game 5-1, and then forced on Monday, that series, you were there, Angel Bunner pitched a great game. The Bandits won the series, And I thought that was the turning point for this Bandits team. They actually had the second-best record in the NPF from that point on. So maybe we shouldn't be shocked. But that was the turning point for this young group. And, boy, it's a complete team effort.
And another turning point, Eric, was when the Pride went to Chicago, the Bandits won on a walk-off home run in the 12th inning by Joe Barry to win that game 4-3. So those are really the two.
Well, Megan Blank,
thank you for correcting me. The Blank walk-off and the Bunner win on Monday night in this at ESPN Wide World of Sports really were the two turning points of the season, because they played with a lot more confidence. They really started to understand who they were as a team. And remember, you still have players from last year's championship team there, and Mike Struwald, the head coach, there as well. So it's not like the cupboard was bare in Chicago when everybody left after they won the title last year. It just took them a little longer to find out their identity, and for them to do it without Emily Allard being much of a factor at all. Only played 12 games this year due to a concussion.
Yeah.
But to still have her as a vocal leader in that dugout on a day-by-day basis, kind of acting as a pseudo-player coach, really was a benefit to this class. And if you look at the class of Chicago, the rookie class, everybody had their moments. Emily Carasone, Kristen Brown, Morgan Foley from the Indianapolis saw some time pitching some big innings late down the stretch. They got Kelsey Claus from LSU. They got contributions from the rookies, and they got and Shelby Tournier, cannot forget, of course, Eric is the voice of UCF softball. But they got the contributions from the veterans, the returners as well. So give credit to Chicago, but give credit to the Pride. They gave Chicago everything they could handle. And I know, Eric, we were talking a little bit during game number two about what we saw from both coaching staffs and moves that we thought could have cost their respective teams a chance to win that game.
Well, let's begin. I mean, let's start with that Scrapyard Dog series.
Yes.
I did pick the Scrapyard Dogs. Look, I went with the best pitcher in the world. And I tweeted this stat. This is the first NPF championship series that has been won not by a team with Cat Osterman or a team with Monica Abbott since 2008. That was the year where Abbott and Osterman were both in the Summer Olympics with Team USA. So if you don't want to count that because they were all away in the Olympics, the last time that an NPF championship was won by a team that didn't have Cat Osterman or Monica Abbott was 2006. So odds are, hey, you bet your money on Monica Abbott, who's been the best pitcher in the world at one pitcher of the year. But that we did say, if you listen to the podcast, that I thought the Bandits game one was critical. And the Bandits jumped on her. And they jumped on her early. And there was that little psychological game. We know what you're throwing, and et cetera. And they jumped on her early in game one. And they pulled away in that game very comfortably and forced the Scrapyard Dogs. Now, all of a sudden, okay, so now Monica's got to throw game two, which she did, and game three, which she did. Now, the Scrapyard Dogs had their way with the Bandits on Saturday in game two for the most part, and they were able to get that game in before the rains came and canceled the rest of the day, forcing the game three on Sunday. But Monica had to go, I believe, five innings or so in that game too. So now all of a sudden, you know, and that's the irony about the Scrapyard Dogs is they didn't, you know, Jackie Traina came in relief in her homecoming on game one and got hit. And so the lack of depth on that Scrapyard Dogs kind of, it really put them in a tough spot because you're forced to throw Monica when you're down in the series. Whereas if you win game one, she probably rest game two, at least be available for the bullpen. So whereas the Bandits went with Bunner in game one, which was solid. Shelby closed that game out in game one. Game two, they went with Gascoigne. She didn't do well, but they had other pitchers. And then game three, they went back to Bunner. Bunner had some trouble through two innings. And then they didn't hesitate. They brought in Shelby. And that was amazing in the third inning. She was fantastic. And there were so many ironies about that. Shelby's 5 foot five, and they mentioned a lot about this on the broadcast with Barb Jordan and Eric Collins on the CBS Sports Network. They talked a lot about her height and stuff, and that's always been a topic in softball landscape.
Height doesn't mean diddly do
squat. That would basically would be what Shelby would tell you, and it is ironic. Here it is. Here's Shelby at 5 foot five going up against Monica Abbott, who's 6 foot four. And, you know, look, obviously I'm biased towards the kid. She played at UCF. I know her parents very well.
Yes.
I didn't really go out of my way to mention this. Because I don't want to add more pressure. But let's be honest, she was selected with the 11th pick overall in this year's draft,
in part,
to help take over for Monica Abbott. Now, you might say, what are you talking about? Now, at the time, the thought was that Monica Abbott was going to be on the Bandits team. But she was under a franchise tag. And, Vic, you know this. This is kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff we're giving you right now and in the circle. Around that time period, there were sources that we both have that we talk to that say, hey, what's going on with the Monica Abbott negotiations? And they didn't want to talk about it.
Right. Eventually, it was Justin McLeod when we had him on the show.
Well, he's one of them.
But he's one of them. And I remember we had him on and we...
He didn't want to talk about
it. Exactly.
He didn't know, you know, he didn't want to get into it because there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
I've talked to other people. They didn't want to touch it.
It was like a taboo subject to bring
Correct.
Up.
Correct. Eventually, we find out later on, the franchise tag deadline passes. She signs with the Scrapyard Dogs for $1 million. So all of a sudden, she's not there. And now the Bandits are kind of, well, who would we go to? And I think you're right. To your point, they had to find themselves earlier. But in a way, she was drafted in the second round. Aaron Moore, the general manager I've known a little while now, is someone that knows how to think ahead. And I'm not saying that he knew that Monica was on her way out or any of that stuff. But you always have to plan for the future.
Yeah.
And I think in part, Shelby was part of that plan. He obviously, there's others, but Shelby was a part of that plan. And so I found it amusing. And here we are. And Barb Jordan, her words, not my words, saying this is one of Monica Abbott's biggest games ever because she's facing her former team, the defending champions for this team and this expansion team, the Scrapyard Dogs. And I'm thinking it is. But now all of a sudden, now she's going against Shelby. And I feel like, and Shelby was lights out. Amazing. One of the best. It was really one of the best softball games I've seen. Not just this year, but a long time, and especially in the NPF. You know, it was a 2-1 ball game. Monica was great.
Shelby was just better.
Just slightly better. And I think back to the seventh inning. It comes down, bases loaded, two outs. She's facing Madison Shipman, who is a stud and was having a great NPF championship series. He found her swing.
Yes, she did.
And she got her to pop up. And really, it got the win. It was a dramatic game. And I feel like it was a symbolic of a passing of a torch, if you will. Because let's be honest, if you're a Bandits fan, it was weird to face Monica Abbott. It was kind of like when, you know, in the NBA, when the Heat faced LeBron James, or when the Colts faced Peyton Manning, maybe is a better description, who led you to championships and was a big part of that. And you always have those great memories, and now she's not part of it. Now you're facing them. And now it's almost like we move on to the next chapter. And I think Shelby's a big part of that. And now she's the Bandits fans who are very will never forget that game. That was a big win for that organization because, hey, we're guilty of it. People wondered, can you win without Monica Abbott this year? Not only did they were able to find a way to win without Monica Abbott, they did it right away. And that's huge on Aaron Moore for his resume because he's won NPF championships. He won with Cat Osterman. He's won with Monica Abbott.
Now he's won without Monica Abbott.
Or Cat Osterman.
Correct.
So just an amazing storyline of that series. So now, meanwhile, the Pride are taking care of business against Akron. They took care of business. Akron kind of just fell apart at the end of the year. I feel like if the season was lasted another a week or two longer, they probably won't even make the playoff.
I think Dallas would have sneaked them. I think Dallas would have sneaked in instead of Akron.
So the Pride are clicking on all cylinders. Now the Bandits win on Sunday night against the Scrapyard Dog, an emotional game I just presented to you. Now they got to come back 20 minutes later and play game one against the Pride.
Which you were upset.
I wasn't a fan of that. And I understand the rain altered the schedule, and they want to keep it on schedule. Now, the original schedule was game one of the championship series would have been Sunday, late Sunday afternoon.
Game two would have been Monday night. And then, if necessary, would have been on Tuesday.
Obviously, they wanted to stay on that schedule, so game one was on Sunday night later, about 3 hours later than originally scheduled, because obviously the Scrapyard Bandits game was on at the time on CBS Sports Network.
Correct.
So the first game now was on MPF TV. Game two was still Monday. Game three was Tuesday. I didn't understand why they couldn't just do a doubleheader on Monday and give the Bandits some hours, kind of like the Women's College World Series. The teams wrap up. You don't just play right away. You play the next day in the championship series. But it is what it is. The Pride won. Kalani Ricketts was phenomenal. 3-1. Morgan Foley was solid, but not good enough. Megan Wiggins. And Megan Wiggins with a home run in that game. In fact, I think that day, I don't remember if it was that game against Dallas. That was the she did a little bit of a bat flip.
That was the game. Yes.
That was the Bandits game. Yeah. Okay.
Jose Bautista would be Jose Bautista would be powdered by bat
flip. Hit it far. And from what I understand, some in the Bandits didn't
words
that.
Were anyway, words were exchanged.
Yes. And then game two moves along now. Now you're thinking, I don't know. So the Bandits go with Gascoigne.
Yes.
And the Pride go with Jolene Henderson.
Who was strong this season. That was a great signing by the Pride.
So we're about halfway into the fourth inning, and it's a back-and-forth game. It's a 2-1 game. Bandits lead. Pride come back. Take the lead. 3-2. You know. And Henderson gets into trouble, and Lonnie goes to the bullpen. Goes to Nunley. The rookie who's had a good year out of Kentucky. He's been on this show. And the Bandits teed off on her.
Yes, they did.
And Barrett, who you mentioned, hit a home run.
Her first home run of the year.
What a time. And they hit her, and they hit Hannah Rogers. And Gascoigne got hit a little bit, too, by the Pride. They made a run, as you knew you would. But then Shelby Turnier comes in and shuts the door.
Mm-hmm.
Shuts the door. Kretschmann's hobbling. Now it's 11-5 Bandits, and you could just sense that the momentum has switched. And you could, and CBS Sports Network does a great job. They mic'd up certain players. I think Cervantes was
mic'd up. Brittany Cervantes was mic'd up for game two.
She made some comments that I think it was in response to what somebody in the Pride was saying, and you could just sense that the edge on both sides was getting there. And then we get to game three, which anything could happen. And then Pride go with Kalani. Bandits go with Bunner. And I thought both were good. Both were good. You mentioned the two mistakes that Kalani made. Edwards and Cervantes hits the two home runs. Bunner gets into a little trouble, gives up the one, but got out of it every time with double plays. Her defense was good. She gave up the home run to Kretschmann in the fifth. And then Shelby closes it out, and the Bandits somehow win this title for the second year in a row against the Pride in the premier rivalry in softball, one of the top rivalries in sports, in a dramatic series, an amazing sports story for the Bandits. Tip your cap to them. They earned it. It was an amazing series. And certainly something that those young ladies will never forget. I know they did their traditional thing on the Bandits. They jump in the pool. It's a celebration afterwards. Brittany Cervantes was named MVP. No issues there.
No.
But I will say, without Shelby, I don't think they get there. Or Bunner. And how about that? That the Bandits in the end of the year, in the final game to win the championship, is basically decided by a pitcher that wasn't even on the roster at the beginning. He was a free agent pickup halfway through, who wasn't even in the league.
Yeah.
I think she was.
She signed in late
right,
June.
But I don't even think she was. Was she even in the league in 2015?
I don't think she was.
So it had been out a year. And then a rookie out of UCF and Shelby Turnier. Just remarkable stuff. And dramatic for the sport. Exciting. How can you not be into it? But certainly. And an amazing win. An amazing win for the Bandits. An amazing job by Aaron Moore. And amazing the girls. And they deserve the right to, hey, everybody, I'm eating crow. We're all eating crow.
Yes.
We did say, though, that if you were the Pride, the Bandits were not a matchup you wanted to see.
No.
Forget the rivalry aspect. I mean, they played them well down the stretch in the end of the year. So we knew that was going to be a tough series. What a road, though, to go through Monica Abbott and go through the Pride. I mean, that's as good as it gets if you're the Bandits. And just remarkable, just a remarkable series. And a salute to both franchises who show why they're at the top of the game. The Aaron Moore, we've talked about at length, but the Pride have nothing to be ashamed of. They're a tremendous team. Gordon, their GM and company, they do a tremendous job. That's a great team. Just came one run short.
Yeah.
And that's really the thing that shocked me the most to this day, Vic, is that the Bandits pitching staff was able to shut down that offense in game three when it mattered. And I'm talking Kretschmann, Wiggins, Romero, Penley. I mean, that's the who's who here. Wow. That's unbelievable. Certainly, I was surprised that Lonnie went with Nunley in that spot. Interesting that Chelsea Thomas, non-factor, which surprised me. Why not? Where would Chelsea Thomas maybe in game two? They brought Jordan Taylor in game three in the fifth inning.
Now, we mentioned this in our conversation.
Yeah.
If the Pride got the lead in game two in the fourth inning, fifth inning,
sure,
you bring in Jordan Taylor, six out, seven outs, let her close it out.
I think Lonnie's plan was what you said. Give me four innings, and I'm going to go to Jordan in the fifth inning to close this out in game two. The problem is they never got to the fifth.
Never.
They trailed. And, you know, give the Bandits credit. That the offense, I would have never – if you would have told me – you know, that was the thing. They scored 11 runs in that second game, did the Bandits. They were clicking offensively.
Yeah.
Just an amazing, amazing, amazing run for them. Kelly Kretschmann, we mentioned. Her homecoming, of course, is Alabama. She played there in the late 90s. And – she's been through this as a member of the Washington Glory, winning a championship in 07. Then they turned into the Pride. She's won many championships. She's been involved in many of these battles between the Bandits and the Pride. And as she described in the postgame presser, this is what it's all about at the highest stakes in softball.
I kind of relate it to Red Sox Yankees. We both respect each other a lot, but then we hate each other at the same time. And I remember playing in Akron. Chicago was the team to beat. They've just been a consistent on-top team of the league's existence. And, you know, I feel like there's always a target on our back because everybody thinks that, you know, our owner is George Steinbrenner of softball. But the biggest thing is that no matter who's on their team and who's on our team, because we've had some switchovers between players, it's still one of the greatest rivalries, I think, in sports. And it kind of gets overlooked because our league gets overlooked. Obviously, I would have liked to have been on some other ends of wins, but you got to enjoy. I think that this is probably the most fun championship I've played in my entire time being in this league because it wasn't about who's pitching on their team and who's pitching on our team. It was about two great teams going at it and what best team was going to win, not who was pitching. And I think that's a huge difference in what's gone on in the league past.
Pretty honest words from Kelly Kretschmann, and I kind of agreed. I mentioned the stat earlier. This was the first NPF champion, regardless of who it would have been, the Pride or the Bandits, that did not have Monica Abbott or Kat Osterman. And I think that's what Kelly is referencing to, and that's not a knock, obviously, on the two, obviously, Monica and Kat. But I think what she's getting at is, every time the Bandits and the Pride would play in the past, it was always about Monica versus
right.
Kat. That wasn't the, this was now this was about the Bandits and the Pride.
It was not the team. It was about it wasn't about the pitchers. It was about the
sure.
actual teams as a whole.
And I think that's a good, you know, that's good. You know, not that Monica versus Kat was bad at all, but
it's good for the game.
I think so.
It's good for the MPF as a whole, where we could talk about the franchises.
Correct.
And not the pitch. It's not Gladys Knight and the Pips. Not Monica Abbott and the Chicago Bandits, or Kat Osterman and the USSSA Pride. It's the Chicago Bandits and the USSSA Pride.
Well, we said this at the beginning of the year. That's why we felt this year was more wide open.
Yes.
And proven to be correct. So I agree with her. I think it's one of the best rivalries. I've had the privilege of filling in and doing some Pride games for about 6 years, and I've called a lot of Bandits Pride games, and it's intense.
It is.
Unfortunately, we won't go into it, but there were some of the players on both sides. We're going back and forth on social media, and
you can follow the Twitter timeline respective players, which we will not go into.
Yeah, we're not going to get into it because, you know, we got friends on both sides of the team, to be honest with you. And we will not
lower ourselves to such time.
No, and look, you know what it is? I like that, though. You know why? Because it's intense. It's an intense rivalry between the two franchises. It's clear, and I don't have a problem with that. I mean, we get that all the time in sports. I think it means a lot to these people to win this championship. And if you're the Pride, it hurts today.
Yeah.
It hurts. You were the regular season best team again.
You were the odds-on favorite to win the championship.
Sure,
this year.
You're one run short.
Yeah.
And just like last year, you know, and it hurts. But that's sports, and that's what makes it fascinating, because now the Pride have to come back stronger. And that's the question now will be, what's next? You know, that's going
to
be.
Which leads me to my number one question.
Yeah.
Was that the last press conference of Kelly Kretschmann as a member of the Pride?
No. No, I didn't get a sense of that. I think she's still obviously at a very high level. Interesting what she's going to do. She left, she left over there at Texas State. She's not an assistant there anymore. So will she end up somewhere now that, you know, in an assistant job? We'll see. But I think she wants to give it another year. I mean, she's still at a high level, and I think she wants to go out on top.
Yeah, all she did was win the Triple Crown last year.
And look, keep in mind with the Pride, I mean, they were without Andrea Durant all year. She got hurt, unfortunately, before the year and missed the whole year. Can you imagine if Andrea Durant was at third base this year for the Pride? Could have made, you know. I think if you're, you know, if you're the Pride, you're right, though. I mean, obviously, the Kretschmann situation, will she come back and all that stuff? Look, I think they've got a good team. And I don't, you know, I think sometimes people overreact when you lose and what went wrong and what do you need? And look, I mean, one run.
But can I go back to what a statement that Kretschmann said in that press conference clip that we played? She mentioned that her owner, not the owner for the UAAA of Pride, Don Deionatis, she's like the George Steinbrenner of softball.
Yep.
We know George Steinbrenner when he was alive, God rest his soul. When the Yankees would not win the championship, would not win the World Series, what would happen in that offseason, Mr. Lopez?
Well, I mean they make acquisitions, right? And stuff, but they've always done that. Well, I mean, they're going to be proactive as they always are to try to get their team better.
Yes,
and they've done that whether they won the title or not. It's not like all of a sudden this loss will drastically change their philosophy on that. And look, they got a good group, very deep. You know, Romero will be in her second year next year. I mean, they've got a very strong team. Remember last year, I mean, they decided to trade Madison Shipman right before the season started to the Scrapyard Dog because they wanted to make room. They got Romero. You move Penley to short. It worked, you know. So, and then they got, you know, they got Jolene Henderson in the offseason. So,
And by the way, they're gonna have that Gator contingent as a whole next year. Aubrey Monroe, Kirsty Merritt, Kelsey Stewart, and they have a full season of Haley McClenny.
Yeah. And that's the thing. They just got a tweak, a little tweak. You know, I they're right there.
But you know what, Eric?
Yeah.
Chelsea Goodacre, I am going to admit, I was worried about the Pride behind the plate with the retirement of Megan Willis now being an assistant coach. Chelsea Goodacre, I really think, has cemented herself of being the full-time catcher for the Pride for the next few years. Not only she can catch a good game, but she's shown in the second half of the year that she can swing as good of a bat as anyone in that lineup.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of young players on that Pride team.
Yeah.
So I think the future is bright with that organization. They're going to be right back in the hunt. You know, but I think Chicago's going to get better, too, just because of the experience.
Yes.
And you know, Aaron Moore, he's going to make his moves, too.
And remember, he's gonna get Emily out at 100% next year.
Sure, and you know, I think he'll tweak the roster as well. So you know, I think Chicago, we could see these two teams again. Obviously, the Scrapyard Dogs, a great year as an expansion team.
They need pitching other than Monica Abbott.
You know, that was surprising to me that they didn't have Trina. Couldn't use Trina as much maybe as they would have liked. But Monica was fantastic, and when you have Monica Abbott, you're always a championship contender.
Always.
I was surprised that Tripp McKay, the coach, in that game three, there was a moment in that seventh inning. It was first and second. There was a call on Edwards, the catcher for the Bandits, and catch interference. Stokes, KK Stokes, their leadoff hitter for the Scrapyard Dogs, was at the plate. They didn't bunt. I was surprised by that. Shelby was able to get her out. You know, I was very surprised by that, but they were right there, you know. And they got to add. It's an expansion year. They'll add to that, too. They'll work around Monica, get some other pit hitters. So I think if you're Sherry Kemp and you're in the league, you're very healthy. You got these franchises, I think, in good shape. Dallas, I really thought, came on at the end of the year. They just dug themselves
They ran out of time. They dug themselves too deep. If Akron played another week, they would be out. They'll be replaced by Dallas. I think Pennsylvania showed some promise this year.
Well, the Elkins, man, it was a stud.
Yeah,
among others. Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. Everybody can beat anybody in this league.
Yeah.
So I think it was a successful, fun year for the MPF. They just got to build on it and work on some kinks, and you know, hopefully they grow. We'll see if they grow the league more or not. You know, who knows? But I thought it was a fun year, and you know, heading into 2017, it'll be interesting how they do, what other cities they travel to, and do they expand and. What players retire and, you know, what play maybe offseason moves as well. Yeah. So I thought it was a fun MPF championship series. I wished that, you know, major networks would, you know, give it its just due instead of, you know, we're like focusing on 12-year-olds playing, my, you know, Little League Baseball. Four-letter network. I mean, I'm just saying. Just saying.
Just calling it as it is.
But look, it was phenomenal. Phenomenal. What's your biggest takeaway from the whole series and moving forward?
Alabama softball and Patrick Murphy run a first-class operation, and it was on display in that championship series. Our hats off to Alabama, the University of Alabama, for putting on a tremendous event. Wouldn't be surprised if you have it there again next year. And they should make it there at a permanent spot in Alabama, because we've seen in the 2 years before it went to Rhodes Stadium how successful it was in the state of Alabama. And plus, with the success of Auburn making it to the championship game, with the success of Alabama, heck, on the Division II side, North Alabama, they're the defending national champions. Alabama Huntsville is in, they're always in the top 10, top 15. So Alabama is starting to become the hub of the softball universe right now. So I think the MPF should continue to take advantage of it. It's been a great partnership, and I think that partnership is going to be continuing for several years to come.
We'll see if they go back there. I don't see why not. But we'll see. It's going to be a tremendous story, to say the least. What a year, and successful. And we'll see if they go back to Tuscaloosa. That'll be another storyline, or they decide to move it somewhere else and maybe move around the championship series. But
yeah.
Amazing. To me, the takeaway, the Chicago Bears, it was one of the most remarkable stories I can remember. I mean, again, they were in July. There was questions where they even make the playoffs.
Yeah, and yes.
There was a stretch there where they couldn't win a game. And how about the fact that Shelby Turnier, on a franchise that had Jenny Finch and Monica Abbott win championships, and big names, and she closes it out against the Scrapyard Dogs to send them to the championship series.
And she gets to find out to get them the championship.
To win the championship, becoming the third player out of the University of UCF, joining Stephanie Best, who won it with Monica Abbott in the Washington Glory, and then 7 years to almost a day that she Allison Kime did it with the Rockford Thunder with Cat Osterman under general manager Aaron Moore. They beat the UAAA Pride in three games. And now Shelby Turnier with Aaron Moore
beat the UAAA Pride in three games.
Just saying. You don't think there's some
symmetry?
Yeah. How about Emily Carasone? Women's College World Series Championship Series with Auburn.
Lost in three.
And then comes back and part of the championship series in the NPF in three games, wins it.
Yeah.
That's a lot of softball. That's a pretty good year.
That is a good year.
Others, Kelsey Kloss, the rookie of LSU, was also in the Women's College World Series. How about Michelle Gascoigne, the Oklahoma former Sooner?
Sarah Moulton, now two-time champion, yeah. Minnesota Gopher.
Lacey Waldrop, among others. We could go on and on. How about Brittany Cervantes? Taking the mantle there as well to a different level.
Tell you what, it's
Taylor Edwards, man.
Tell you what, it's been a good offseason for Coach Lawson and her former Wildcats. Of course Lawson, an assistant coach with the Scrapyard Dogs, had a chance to interview her on our podcast. Brittany Cervantes mentioned championship game MVP. Kelsey Nunley, who we also had on, great rookie season with the UAAA Pride. So Kentucky softball, I think, showed themselves very well in this 2016 MPF season, in particular in the championship series.
Here's a stat for you, courtesy of Graham Hayes. In June, the Bandits lost a five-game losing streak at one point by a margin of 51-3.
What? Wait a minute.
That's in his story. He wrote a story about Angel Bunner in the MPF championship series.
Okay, wait.
But they were...
What the hell did you just say?
Yeah, run that back for me, please.
The Bandits stumbled to 8 losses in 9 games in June, with the last 5 losses during that streak was 51-3 they lost.
And I know one of them was a clunker they had against Dallas.
And that's right around the time when Aaron Moore reached out to Bunner, who was 2 years removed basically from NPF. And then she's pitching game 3 of the title. It was a huge acquisition.
Wow.
Huge acquisition.
Lightning out of a bottle.
A Florida kid, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Former Auburn Tiger as well, right?
Yeah. In the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
They don't make this stuff up, folks.
No, they do not.
Just unbelievable. So, congratulations again to the Chicago Bandits. What a story. Amazing in sports. We will, throughout, this fall, we'll try to get some of the Bandits champions as soon as they and kind of get their reaction and what it was like.
as soon as they calm down for the celebration, which rightfully deserved.
Absolutely. Vic, tell the audience where they can find us.
You can find us on Twitter at InnerCircleSB. Of course, you can follow our blog, InnerCircleBlog.wordpress.com, on Facebook, InnerCircleSB. And, of course, send us an email, InnerCircleSB@gmail.com. Of course, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Podomatic. We want to get back. Our goal, Eric, by this time next year. And I'm shooting. You know me. I like to shoot for the moon on this. Our goal by this time next year, when we're recapping the 2017 championship series, number one, we're doing it in Tuscaloosa, and number two, we're at the number one sports podcast out there on Podomatic. That is our goal for 2017. To you, the greatest fans in the world, the softball fans. That is our goal. That is our mission statement that we're declaring right now.
We'll see. On that note, that's amazing stuff there from Vic. We will leave you with some montage, some highlights of the franchise, the Chicago Bandits, a tribute to them as they are your 2016 MPF champions, the Chicago Bandits. For Vic, I'm Eric. This has been In the Circle. Congratulations once again to the Chicago Bandits.
Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious.
Fields carrying, it's gone! Solo home run by the rookie Kristen Brown. And the Bandits extend the lead at 3-1 on the second home run of the afternoon for Kristen Brown. The 3-2 is hit up the middle and through. Base hit for Megan Blank. Coming in to score is Carasone. Coming in to score is Sammy Marshall. And the Chicago Bandits extend the lead to 5-1 on two RBI, two out single by Megan Blank. 3-1. Wiggins swings, hits a blooper, and it's caught by, guess who? Kristen Brown, the rookie from North Carolina. And the Chicago Bandits defeat the U-SSSA Pride 5-1, the final score. 5 runs, 11 hits, no errors for the Pride. For the Bandits, 1 run, 6 hits, no errors for the Pride. And Shelby Turnier, in her homecoming to Central Florida, gets the victory in relief. How about that? You couldn't have scripted that storyline. She pitched at UCF 30 minutes away from campus, and she came into this game with 2 on and nobody out, Jade, with the Bandits lead.
Great Monica Abbott has been defeated twice by her former team. The Chicago Bandits have earned the right to defend their Gold Cup championship from a year ago.
High pop up, this could do it. Falling forward is Brown. The Bandits go back to back.